Merkle Media.
Oh, Ashback Friday's here with Macroaggressions. Going back to June 24th, 2020, episode number 33, The War on Whistleblowers. If you are looking to convert some of your rapidly depreciating fiat currency or maybe even your retirement accounts into physical precious metals like gold and silver, go to our website, www.macroaggressions.gold, and Tony at Wise Wolf Gold and Silver will hook you up. Now, please enjoy the show.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morrison.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
a Swangled in
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior.
Thank you, comrade.
And now, Macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. How the hell are you? If you are interested in connecting with the show, you can do so through the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. The links to those profiles will be in the description box below. Well, if ever there was a time to talk about whistleblowers, it is now, because the United States has a very big problem with whistleblowers. The problem is that there are some. I mean, the government has a problem with it. We, the people, are totally fine with the concept of whistleblowers, because usually what they're blowing the whistle on is some corrupt company or some corrupt component of our government that is treating people poorly or is committing crimes and things like that. Now, the natural response to whistleblowers would be to take them seriously and, and gather their information. And then if it warrants an investigation, you open up an investigation. And so the Department of Homeland Security has acknowledged that they have a very difficult job. And they need you and me to help, because they can't do it all on their own. So they've even started a marketing campaign to help encourage citizens to give them a hand in this difficult task. It's called, If You See Something, Say Something. Wow. If I see something, I should say something to who? To Department of Homeland Security? To the federal government? You mean like the way Edward Snowden did? When he dumped a truckload of information on Glenn Greenwald in a Hong Kong hotel room? You mean like that? That kind of see something and say something? Or do you mean like Bradley Manning did by turning over documents to WikiLeaks about unlawful murders carried out by the United States government? Collateral murder video. You've all seen it. The black and white gunship footage from that Apache helicopter that shot a bunch of innocent people. What about like Thomas Drake did? That sort of see something and say something? Or like Ray McGovern? See, the United States has a history of treating people who saw something, then later said something, like traitors and criminals. And they will go out of their way to bury these people under the prison. You need look no further than Julian Assange, Chelsea Bradley, now Chelsea Manning, to see what they do with whistleblowers. You know, so they want us to have, you know, so the see something, say something, want us to help out the Department of Homeland Security. Yeah, I'll get right on that. Yeah, that'll be the first call I make. By using the state secret privilege, the intelligence community can stop any investigation into their dirty issues. That's all they have to do. It can shut down any lawsuits that might paint them in a negative light. You know, it's easy. This is what, you know what happens when you run your mouth about seeing a guy getting shanked on the rec yard at Pelican Bay, right? You talk about that, you might as well slit your own throat because you're a dead man. So if the United States government really wanted to promote see something, say something, you know, this concept, they would have promoted Bradley Manning, not locking him up in a jail cell for 30 years. So forgive me if I'm a bit skeptical of the Department of Homeland Security's intended use of this information. You know who else wanted you to see, if you saw something, say something? The Gestapo. You know, the Jews next door, right? Ratting them out. It's really no different. Maybe it's different in what the Department of Homeland Security will do with them. Maybe they won't drag them off to a prison and murder them right away, but they'll definitely murder their reputation, murder them financially by putting them in prison without telling them where their lawyer, you know, telling their lawyer where they are. This happens all the time. Happened in Holman Square in Chicago, for fuck's sake. I mean, it doesn't even have to happen in Guantanamo Bay or someplace like that. This happens in the United States from time to time. So, I'm just not going to be one of those people lining up to be a rat for the state under any circumstances, really. But especially when it comes to the Department of Homeland Security, an operation that is so Nazi in its origins and Orwellian that it's embarrassment that we actually have that. Defending the homeland, right? Right? That's what we're doing. I mean, it's literally homeland security. I guess if they called it, you know, the SS, that might have been a bridge too far, or the brown shirts. You know, maybe you can't call them brown shirts. So we'll call them Department of Homeland Security. It doesn't matter. It's the same thing anyway. They're out defending the homeland, you know, getting to the bottom of these terrorist plots. You know, all the brown people from other countries that are coming to get us here. So we got to go get them there. You know, that Department of Homeland Security. Don't you feel so much more secure in your homeland now that DHS is around spending billions of dollars and wasting your time creating institutions like the TSA that can grab your nutsacks and finger your asshole while you're going through metal detectors? This band of slack-jawed yokels that are consistently getting caught stealing people's stuff, but have yet to catch a single terrorist. Not one. Still waiting. What are we, 15 years on? Still waiting for TSA to actually do something, except collect record numbers of toenail clippers. I mean, what a joke. Machiavelli wrote in his book, The Prince, men ought either to be well-treated or crushed because they can avenge themselves of lighter injuries. Of more serious ones, they cannot. Therefore, the injury that is to be done to a man ought to be of such a kind that one does not stand in fear of revenge. So that leads us to how the government treats whistleblowers. And how they treat them is very Machiavellian. They seek to crush you so that a person cannot avenge themselves. You know, you can, once again, we can look at Julian Assange for this. You know, taken in, you know, under house arrest in the Ecuadorian embassy in the UK. And by the way, this is I'm putting this in the context of the American government doing this to American citizens. Julian Assange is not an American citizen. He's an Australian, and he was being held in London. So this is not specific only to the United States. This happens anywhere where you have a government that is authoritarian in nature. And the United States and the UK are qualify as that. Yeah, I know. We're supposed to have different, you know, laws and ways of conducting government, but let's just be honest with what we've become. We've become an authoritarian regime. And so what they've done in the United Kingdom with Julian Assange, where they kept him isolated in the embassy for, oh God, I don't even know, 7 years or so. Then they transfer him to Belmarsh Prison, put him in solitary confinement, which is torture, you know, a form of it for sure. Seriously screwing up his health while he was in the embassy. You know, we think we don't like our coronavirus lockdown. Julian Assange was living that for years. You know, he was in sequestered to, I think, just a room. So that's house arrest, you know. So just so that we're all clear, you know, if you've got the goods on the American government and you approach the American government, a branch of them, to enlighten them on this issue that you've found, that you've now become a whistleblower for, do not expect to be treated with respect and gratitude. You know, I mean, you might think that if you listen to Janet Napolitano's, if you see something, say something, little speech, they make it sound like they'll be willing to accept you with open arms. They'll let you talk. Just to know, just so they can figure out what you know. And then you know who will be prosecuted for that? It'll be you, not the agency you're going after. It doesn't work like that. So get rid of this delusion that you have that we're somehow a better than a third world country. We're most certainly not. At least in a third world country, they don't pretend to give you rights. In America, they do. There's window dressing and everything, but they will put you through the ringer. In fact, they will go out of their way to destroy you. Some of the methods that they use, that the whistleblowers that have come forward have talked about, that have been used against them to discredit them, to marginalize them, to plant illegal items on them, is sickening. But here's a list of some of the things that the government has done to whistleblowers in an attempt to discredit them. Framing someone with child porn, either through covert nondescript email attachment that has the unsuspecting person that would open this email or this email attachment. Or if they have access to a person's computer, the files can just be loaded directly on there. That happens. That happens all the time. And it's really tough to explain your way out of it when the feds are saying they found child porn on your computer because you know, what are you going to do? Say, I didn't have any on there. And they'll say, well, you certainly did because it's right here and we can show it. And then they say, how did you get that? And you say, I don't know because it's not mine and I didn't put it on there. And then it becomes your word against the federal government's word. It becomes the word of a child pornographer against the federal government. So you understand you got no chance there. And that happens. And that can be done remotely. So they might set you up to get a DUI, which might not sound like a big deal, but, you know, if a person has a professional license, like a real estate license, a commercial driver's license, or some license that they need to have for their job, they can threaten to revoke it unless you cooperate with them. So, like, when I say set you up to get a DUI, I mean, if you're dealing with a man, one way is to have an attractive woman flirt at the bar, you know, get the guy, you know, get the guy to keep drinking with him, get in the guy's car with him, drive off. And that cop that's waiting, you know, that has instructions to pull you over, just waits till you drive off. Fire up the lights, pull you over, bring you in on a DUI. Think it can't happen? Of course it can happen. Person could be unknowingly drugged and then be forced to take a drug test the following day at their work. That's happened to whistleblowers before. Once again, how did you get this crystal meth in your system? I don't know. I didn't do it. Popular method is to suicide a person, meaning kill somebody and make it look like a suicide. I mean, how many examples of that do we have with just the Clintons? People connected to the Clinton family. It's an epidemic. They can label you as a terrorist and put you on a no-fly list. That's easy to do. Manufactured evidence that the feds create can be used to make a person appear guilty during their trial. That happens all the time, including having police lie, saying that they saw you do something that you didn't do. And if you are still under the illusion that the police do not get up on the stand in courtrooms and lie to protect their story, you are very naive. They will lie to protect their own. It happens all the time. They will lie to protect their ass, their own ass. And they will lie to make sure that they go along with the official story of an event. I wish it wasn't the case. We like to think of the police as being above that. They are not. Not all of them, at least. You can be killed by a heart attack gun. This is a favorite, by the way. Now, this sounds like some obscure kind of conspiracy thing, like getting shot with a heart attack gun. But I will have you know that this has been around since the early 1970s. In fact, there's a video where they're testifying. I think it was the church commission hearings in 75. They were testifying about this gun, and the guy holds one up. And what it is it's a gun that shoots frozen pellets. The frozen pellets have a poison on them. And you shoot someone with it, with this frozen pellet that hits them, you know, hits, I don't know, and leaves a little red mark. You shoot somebody in the neck with it, let's say, with a frozen pellet. Enough of that poison from the pellet goes right through the skin. There's no bullet because it's frozen and it just melts. And that poison is enough to kill a person, give them a heart attack, make it look natural. It's been around for a long time. 40 years, 45 years, 50 years almost. Just think what other kind of technology they have. This is seriously outdated, the heart attack gun, but it's been used quite a bit. Another tactic that they will use to frame you or discredit you is what I like to call the daily double. That is humiliation and suicide. So, like, not only is the person dead, but they're also humiliated in an attempt to discredit or marginalize the target. So as an example of this, all you have to do is think of David Carradine. Remember the actor who was found hung in a hotel room in Thailand while he was wearing a rubber bondage suit? I'm not making this up. I know it sounds crazy, but you can go find that story. So if they really have it out for you and suiciding you is just, you know, only part of what they want. If they want to send a message to people, if they want to discredit you and send a message to everybody else, this is what happens if you talk, then they'll put you in a gimp outfit and hang you in a hotel room. And make it look like you sexually asphyxiated yourself while you were jerking off wearing a rubber bondage suit. And that's a tough one to explain to somebody's wife. If a person's computer or email gets hacked, fake documents and emails could be uploaded or sent out. They can hack the electronic systems of newer model cars. Where did we see that? We saw that with Michael Hastings. At least that's the working theory. We'll get to him in a minute. They can institute a IRS tax audit on you. That's fun. It won't kill you, and it won't put you behind bars, but it'll add another mountain of stress onto your already, you know, overtaxed nervous system. You know, if you're a whistleblower, you're probably jumpy as hell anyway. Add an IRS tax audit on top of that. You know, it's not meant to take you down. It's just meant to make you busy. Keep you busy, keep you spending money, keep you thinking about that, stressing out, worried about this and that. They'll file lawsuits against you, the government will, in an attempt to bankrupt you. That's called lawfare. That happens all the time. That's not just limited to the government doing that to people. That's people doing it to other people, rich people doing it to moderately wealthy people. They know they can tie something up in court for a long period of time, and they'll do that. People do that all the time. Governments do that to the people all the time if they are interested in that. Then there's just the good old-fashioned ass beating. Okay, do not underestimate that. Don't underestimate somebody showing up at your house or waiting till you get out of the car at some grocery store, and some dude walks over to you and just beats the holy hell out of you and whispers in your ear, stop talking. You know, that works too. They can and have confronted people with photos of their children to imply that they could be hurt, or that they know what school they go to, or they know what ballet class they're in or soccer team they're on. And a hybrid of this, and one of the most devious methods that they use, is to bring in Child Protective Services as a tool to remove a person's children, put them in foster care, or worse. And if you don't know about Child Protective Services, you might want to educate yourself on that operation, because it is not what it seems. So there's a lot of ways they can get back at a whistleblower. It takes a ton of courage to stick your neck out on the line for this. Edward Snowden, you know, he's trapped. Chelsea Manning has been in and out of jail on two different occasions. Psychological warfare against them, you know, by the government. Now, if you have information for the government against some entity that the federal government hates, well, then they'll open their arms and welcome you right in. But if you have information about what the government is actually doing around the world or here at home, then they'll also welcome you in, not to gather your information and actually do something about it, but to see what you actually know. And if you know a lot about a certain event and you're a legit whistleblower, well, congratulations, you just outed yourself. Now you're the target. And this is, unfortunately, is a real situation that people in the United States have to deal with. And one of the ways that they decided that they were going, you know, the government was going to set people's minds at ease, that they don't have to worry about ramifications from the government coming back upon them, is they devised what they call the Whistleblower Protection Enhancement Act, the WPEA. And I'll read from whistleblower.org. This is what the description is. The Whistleblower Protection Enhancement Act provides millions of federal workers with the rights they need to report government corruption and wrongdoing safely. The law reflects an unequivocal bipartisan consensus, having received the vote of every member of the 112th Congress, passing both the Senate and House of Representatives by unanimous consent shortly before adjournment. Okay, so a couple things about that statement right there. It sounds to me like they're trying to sell it really hard that all of the members of Congress really like this. They mention in here unequivocal, bipartisan, consensus, received the vote of every member of Congress, passing both Senate and House representatives by unanimous consent. They're trying to sell it hard, that this is such a no-brainer that everyone in Congress was on board with this, you know, to protect federal workers against reporting government corruption. I mean, it's such a joke on the surface, it's hard to take it seriously. Once you know and understand that Congress is filled with government corruption, it's what it is. It's all government corruption. It's all government people, all involved in corruption. And they passed the Whistleblower Protection Enhancement Act that gets unanimous approval by all of these corrupt politicians. Don't you just think that maybe there's a little bit more to this than what we're being told? Congress doesn't approve anything unanimously. You know, they're not all on board with anything. Oh, but suddenly they are for a law that's going to hold them accountable? Stop. Stop. The reason why they're on board with this is because it's totally toothless. And here's why. So let's just, you've got to read the fine print on this, because what it sounds like on the surface is that it provides millions of federal workers with the rights they need to report government corruption. That sounds great. That sounds like a great thing. Until you realize who is exempt from this, what the government workers are that are exempt from this. And the government workers that are exempt from this are all of the government workers that would be in a position to know anything of any real value. All of the low-level people that don't know anything about anything, they're protected. Anybody working in or with the government that has signed a secrecy agreement, is involved in any covert government program, or handles anything classified, is not covered by the Whistleblower Protection Act. They are not covered by it. I'm going to say that again. If you've signed a secrecy agreement, if you're involved in any covert government program, or you handle anything classified, you're not covered by this. You have no protection, and you are 100% at risk. And on top of that, if you don't read the fine print, you probably think, because you heard about the Whistleblower Protection Act, that you're covered. Because after all, right, it provides millions of federal workers with the rights they need to report government corruption. I'm a federal worker. I should be covered. Wrong. Make sure you know what this is about before you brazenly go whistleblowing on something, thinking that you're magically covered. You are not. The assumption might be that government agencies that deal in secrecy are fairly uncommon, with the exception of like the FBI, NSA, DOD, DOJ, DOS, and CIA. Those are really well known to the public. You obviously know that if you work for those organizations, you're involved in secrecy. So this Whistleblower Protection Act might not cover you. You're right. It doesn't cover you. But if you're assuming that those are the only government agencies that are involved in the secrecy business, well, you might be interested to know that there are actually 1,271 different government organizations involved in secrecy. 1,271 different government organizations that are involved in secrecy. So it's not just the FBI and the CIA and the DOJ and the NSA. It's not just them. There's almost 1,300 other organizations. Add to that another 1,931 private companies that fall under this exemption. There are also 10,000 intelligence locations inside the United States alone that are exempt from the WPEA, the Whistleblower Protection Enhancement Act. And that's not even counting anything outside of the American borders. Of the 4.8 million people living in the United States with security clearances that are not protected by the WPEA, 854,000 of them have top secret clearance, which carries stiff penalties for disclosing information. You are not protected. There's no protection for you guys. 854,000 people in the U.S. have top secret clearance. That's a lot. 4.8 million have, just in the United States, have a form of a security clearance. You're not protected. Those working inside the military industrial complex have no coverage by the WPEA. So if you want to rat out your scumbag boss at Long John Silver because he keeps making comments about your tits, go for it, right? Knock yourself out. But if you have discovered that your own government is shelling Fallujah with depleted uranium and you decide to go public with this information, you will be targeted and you will pay a steep price for that. Don't kid yourself. If you've got real information about real events and you spill the beans to the media on that, they're coming for you. Don't act surprised when they kick your door in and drag you down to the police station. Because it's coming. Let's take a quick break so that we can hear from the sponsors that make this show possible. Like Delete Me. The tech giants make a fortune selling your personal information to all kinds of outlets for them to use as they please. Delete Me removes your personal information like name, address, age, phone number, email address, and photos of your home from leading data broker sites. Removing personal information from data broker websites reduces your online footprint and removes Google search results. These guys really understand opt-out and privacy policies, so you don't have to spend your time focusing on things like legal jargon. Delete Me has been featured in the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, NPR, and CNET. And with over 20 million personal listings removed, Delete Me is the most trusted and proven privacy solution available, so check them out by using the link in the description to see just how they can take back your personal information. And Fiverr is an outstanding resource. If you need somebody to outsource some of your work to, or you just need specialized help with a project that you're working on, you need to check out Fiverr. They have a network of thousands of freelance experts in business, design, programming and tech, digital marketing, music and audio, video and animation, writing and translation, and so much more. Need someone to build out a website or help you grow your current business with a digital marketing campaign? You can find thousands of people ready to get to work on your project at a fixed price that you set at Fiverr. Your payment's only released to the freelancer once you're pleased and approve the work you've received. If you have questions, you can call Fiverr 24/7. Just click the link in the box in the description. Start putting this army of freelancers to work for you. And cash advance. We are living through a very strange time filled with an unbelievable amount of uncertainty. We don't know what the world's going to look like weeks from now, let alone months from now. If you find yourself in a financial emergency and in need of money right away, you at least have an option with cash advance. You can submit your request online and receive an answer in minutes so that you will know where you stand and what programs they have available for you. Their online service is entirely free and works to find potential lenders in their network. So just fill out the secure online form and see which option works best for you. Look, I hope you don't need this service, but if you do during this crazy time in our lives, at least you know that you have another option with Cash Advance. Click the link in the description box to see what they have to offer. And with all of these sponsors, your support for them directly impacts and supports the show. We certainly do appreciate that. Now let's get back to the show. Talk about some of the whistleblowers in particular, starting with the most famous one, Edward Snowden. In June of 2013, the world was introduced to Edward Snowden after he gave a detailed interview about the criminal actions of his former employer, Booz Allen Hamilton, which is a military industrial complex related company. And also about his time working for the National Security Agency, the NSA. It was the biggest story in the world for a couple of months. And The Guardian covered it through Glenn Greenwald and Laura Poitras. They explained the covert means by which not only Americans – but people throughout the world were being spied on by the intelligence agencies of the United States. So Booz Allen Hamilton, they hired Edward Snowden as a contractor, and he released classified material on secret NSA programs, including PRISM surveillance program. That happened in June of 2013. Now, for doing so, I think we all kind of knew that we were being spied on some level, and we knew about wiretaps, cell phone taps through Stingray devices and things like that. We knew they existed. We also knew that, you kind of know that if you're communicating through electronic digital means, that they have ways to capture that information. You have to know that. But what Snowden did was he gave away the plan. I mean, he explained it in great detail. And I know some people have their questions about, they have issues with Snowden as far as who he really is. And is he a CIA asset that was pretending to, go to work for the NSA to out them? Or is the CIA and the NSA having a bit of a civil war against one? I don't know. Maybe. Probably. I'm sure. But was Snowden actually something beyond what he is made out to be? I don't know. I don't know that I trust anybody 100% that finds their way into the mainstream media. I like Glenn Greenwald a lot, but I also know that he now works for The Intercept, and The Intercept is owned by Pierre Omidyar, who founded eBay, and he has an axe to grind. He's got his political leanings too. So my point is, I don't know that you can trust anybody necessarily. If you want to dig into, your favorite journalist, you'll find something that they've done or written about that doesn't exactly line up with what you think is correct. So, it's impossible to agree with anybody 100%. But I do like what Glenn does. I think he comes at it from the right place. Like I said, I have questions about his employer now, and I have questions about why they didn't release all of the Snowden information now. They have it, why they haven't released it. That always has rubbed me the wrong way, but but I don't have answers for as to why that's done. My guess is that there's some information in there that paints somebody connected to Pierre Omidyar in a bad light. But that's just an assumption on my part. So we've also got Bradley / Chelsea Manning. So to put this in context, Bradley Manning was working in the U.S. Army intelligence, is an analyst who released the largest set of classified documents ever, mostly published by WikiLeaks through their media partners. This material included videos of the July 12th, 2007 Baghdad airstrikes and the 2009 Granai airstrikes in Afghanistan. He released 250,000 United States diplomatic cables and 500,000 Army reports that came to be known as the Iraq and Afghanistan war logs. Manning was convicted of violating the Espionage Act and sentenced to 35 years in prison. During that time, Bradley Manning transitioned into becoming a woman and changed his name to Chelsea Manning, which is the reason why, if you're hearing two different names and you're not really up on the story, that's why you sometimes hear Bradley Manning, and that's why you sometimes hear Chelsea Manning. Chelsea Manning, badass, you know, facing down a third of a century in prison and refusing to talk, being let out, then getting dragged back in for contempt of court for once again refusing to talk and incriminate Julian Assange. Chelsea Manning's a badass. Much respect to her for that. You know, that's psychological torture, what she went through twice. And then, of course, they said, well, you owe $250,000 in fines. You know, the American government sucks so bad. They just really do. They never miss a chance to give it to you in one way or another. And I want to go back just a second to Edward Snowden, and I want to read a quote from him, because I think it's important that we understand what he's saying in this quote, because it's so important moving forward. And that is this. So this is Snowden, not Manning. Even if you're not doing anything wrong, you're being watched and recorded. It's getting to the point where you don't have to have done anything wrong. You simply have to eventually fall under suspicion from somebody, even by a wrong call, and then they can use this system to go back in time and scrutinize every decision you've ever made, every friend you've ever discussed something with, and attack you on that basis to sort of derive suspicion from an innocent life. Think about that. Think about how crazy that is. This is some like KGB stuff. This is like North Korean type of thinking, or at least what they tell us, North Koreans, how they think. The government, at least, I mean. We're all guilty of something. And if you retroactively go back through everybody's emails or social media or phone calls to find something that they said or did, I'm going to fucking kill that guy. Oh, you said that some ridiculous conversation to your friend one night. And then they bring that up and they said, listen, he threatened to murder. They're plotting a murder. Let's get both of these guys. Let's get you, who they're after. And let's get your friend that you had that conversation with, who has nothing to do with anything. Let's grab them both. You were on a conversation saying to your friend here that you wanted to fucking kill this guy? I mean, you're looking at 10 years for that. And you're looking at it too, buddy. Mr. Friend who took the phone call. Hey, what did I do? You're an accessory. Conspiracy to commit murder. dude, I didn't do anything. This guy just called me up and we're talking about not. Need you to testify against your friend. Or you're going to go, you're going to do time on conspiracy. Do you understand how this works? Manufacturing a scenario, you know. But this is how it would be put back together. They have all the information on you. What Edward Snowden is trying to say is that they have all the information on you. They have all your phone calls, all your emails. He wasn't even talking about the fact that there's now Amazon Alexa and Echoes and Ring, you know, security doorbell footage that have microphones on it, and Google Nest thermostats that were found to have microphones built into them. Google said, we didn't know there were microphones. You built the goddamn things. There's microphones in it. Stop, Google, stop lying. So what he's trying to say is that with all of this information about you, they can recreate a scenario that you might or might not have been involved in and hang you out to dry for it. So be very careful. And you know, Snowden would know. He had a tech background. He worked in these, you know, for Booz Allen Hamilton and the NSA, where they're working on these programs. I mean, this is what they do. So Snowden and Chelsea Manning and Michael Moore, actually the filmmaker, and you can say what you want about Michael Moore. I have mixed opinions on that guy, but he said this about Bradley Manning at the time. To suggest that lives were put in danger by the release of the WikiLeaks documents is the most cynical of statements. Lives were put in danger the night we invaded the sovereign nation of Iraq, an act that had nothing to do with what the Bradley Mannings of this country signed up for, to defend our people from attack. It was a war based on a complete lie, and lives were not only put in danger, hundreds of thousands of them were exterminated. For those who organized this massacre, to point a finger at Bradley Manning is the ultimate example of Orwellian hypocrisy. Well, Michael Moore hit the nail on the head with that. You know, but it's not limited to Bradley Manning. It's not limited to Edward Snowden and his work with the NSA. Thomas Drake worked at the NSA in various analyst and management positions. He blew the whistle on the NSA's Trailblazer project, which was a $1.2 billion NSA program that infringed on people's rights to privacy and violated the Fourth Amendment, as well as other laws and regulations. He contacted the Baltimore Sun, which published articles about waste, fraud, and abuse at the NSA, including stories about Trailblazer. And for his services, he, in April of 2010, he was indicted by a grand jury on various charges and prosecuted under the Espionage Act of 1917. He was facing 35 years in prison, just what Bradley Manning got, on charges including obstructing justice and making false statements. After the May 22nd, 2011 broadcast of a 60-minute episode on the Drake case, the government dropped all the charges against Drake and agreed not to seek any jail time in return for Drake's agreement to plead guilty to a misdemeanor of misusing the agency's computer systems. He was sentenced to a year of probation and community service. And by the way, he was forced to work at an Apple store. I mean, not he wasn't forced to work there, but I mean, it screwed up his life so badly, he had to take a job somewhere, and he took a job at an Apple store. This guy was a manager at the NSA. So they'll screw you up. And if you don't have powerful friends, or you don't have the benefit of the media helping you out, going to bat for you, then you're done. Luckily, in Thomas Drake's case, you know, he had the media helping him out by doing a story that brought this up as well. So it painted and embarrassed the government, and they wound up dropping the case so that it would quietly go away. Then there's Smedley Butler. Probably, you know, like the first real whistleblower, I would say. You might recognize him. He wrote a book called War is a Racket. He said this in his book: "War is a racket. It always has been. A few profit and the many pay. But there is a way to stop it. You can't end it by disarmament conferences. You can't eliminate it by peace parlays at Geneva. Well-meaning but impractical groups can't wipe it out by resolutions. It can be smashed effectively only by taking the profit out of war." So who was Smedley Butler? How would he know about this? Well, he was a retired U.S. Marine Corps Major General, a 2-time recipient of the Medal of Honor. You know, what he did was he alleged to the McCormick-Dickenstein Committee in the House of Representatives that business leaders had plotted a fascist coup against the Roosevelt administration in what became known as the business plot. And in his book, he listed well-known U.S. military operations that he alleged were not about protecting democracy, as was, you know, as the public was led to believe, but it was actually designed to further the business interests of U.S. banks and corporations. And he compared these activities with Al Capone-style mob hits on behalf of American corporations and their respective business interests. This was revolutionary. You know, this was a guy that was in the war in the 30s. And he came out, and it worked as far as exposing the government and the military because of who Smedley Butler was, because of what sort of regard people had for him. He was like, you know, a Marine's Marine, right? He was, he had won all these awards. He was a decorated war hero. And for him to come out and say this, to come out and completely contradict the official narrative of the government and the media, was unheard of. But that's what it takes to get yourself, to get the message out there. You've got to have a reputation that precedes you. You know, you've got to have something that makes it difficult for them to discredit you. But they'll try, and nobody knows that they'll try, you know, how hard the media and the government will try to discredit them than Daniel Ellsberg. And Daniel Ellsberg, he was a former, he worked for a company called RAND, which is a, like another military industrial complex. So he was an analyst who, alongside with a guy named Anthony Russo, leaked what is known as the Pentagon Papers, a secret account of the Vietnam War. And he leaked this to the New York Times. Now, we just recently had something called the Afghanistan Papers, which people were calling them the Afghanistan Papers, which was written about all of the sort of the behind the scenes of the Afghanistan war, how the generals were saying, this is crazy, we don't know what we're doing here, and we're losing all this money. And then it came out that this Afghanistan component had cost them like, you know, over $1 trillion. And they started calling it the Afghanistan Papers. Well, the reason why they called it the Afghanistan Papers is it's kind of a play on the Pentagon Papers. And the Pentagon Papers is what Daniel Ellsberg released. And it's just the secret account of what was really happening in the Vietnam War. And it revealed, you know, deception by the previous administration had contributed to the erosion of public support for the war. And then the release of this information then triggered a legal case concerning government efforts to prevent the publication of classified information that was heard by the Supreme Court. And Ellsberg was the subject of retaliation by the Nixon administration. I'm sure that comes as no surprise to anybody. but you know, when he confirmed really what Daniel Ellsberg did is he confirmed what many U.S. citizens had suspected for decades, that the government lied about its actions and involvement in the Vietnam War through four consecutive presidential administrations. And, you know, and what was his reward for that? He was targeted. He was targeted by the government for having the audacity to speak out about them. You know, and but this is not limited to military personnel or people working in the federal government. You've got Michael Rupert, who is a well-known name in the alternative media. He's no longer with us. But he's a former LAPD narcotics officer who blew the whistle on some crazy stuff. He contested a CIA director, John Deutsch's assertions that the CIA was not complicit in drug trafficking. And he did this during a town hall meeting in LA in November of 1995. There's video of it. You can watch it. It will blow your mind. Michael Rupert has balls of steel for what he did in this high school. They did it like Locke High School in South Central. And at the meeting, Michael Rupert publicly alleged the existence of classified CIA programs named Amadeus, Pegasus, and Watchtower. And he stated that CIA officers had attempted to involve him in protecting these CIA operations during the late 70s. And his account corresponds to similar allegations regarding Operation Watchtower. So he wasn't the only one talking about this. But what's interesting is that a week after Michael Rupert confronted CIA Director John Deutsch at that meeting in LA, Deutsch stepped down a week later. And Rupert went on to write this best-selling book called Crossing the Rubicon, as well as also writing and starring in a great documentary called Collapse. You should check that out. He also had a radio show that went on for quite a while, but in 2014 he took his own life, which is something that unfortunately I think a lot of whistleblowers have to face. They have to deal with this possibility. Bill Binney was a 36-year veteran of the NSA and a whistleblower. And what he said is at least 80% of fiber optic cables globally go via the U.S. This is no accident and allows the U.S. to view all communication coming in. At least 80% of all audio calls, not just metadata, are recorded and stored in the U.S. The NSA lies about what it stores. So, he also later went on to say, I basically see us moving to a controlled society, a totalitarian state where the government wants to be in charge. When Reagan said, we're a country with a government, I think we're now a government with a country. Bill Binney, I think being proven correct. Yeah. So he also asked the government to investigate the Trailblazer project, you know, that the NSA was developing. And Bill Binney was high ranking. I think he was like number three at the NSA. He mentioned Trailblazer, of course, but he also, they claimed there was also a follow-up program to it called Thin Thread. And, he was talking about how it was more effective and cheaper than Trailblazer program. that he wanted them to use Thin Thread, but they were using Trailblazer, which automatically collected trillions of domestic communications of Americans in deliberate violation of the Constitution. So what Benny was saying was, we're using Trailblazer, this program that just arbitrarily collects all of this data from all of the Americans. We shouldn't be using that because it's unconstitutional. We should be using Thin Thread because we developed it. First of all, it's more effective and it's cheaper, and they wanted nothing to do with it. So, that's obviously a concern. So why would they want nothing to do with it? Well, because the whole point is they wanted to collect all this information on people. They're not looking to, you can't bring it up to them and say, hey, listen, this violates the Constitution, and then expect them to go, oh, okay, well, let's change it then because we don't want to violate the Constitution. No, they don't care about that. That's the point, is that it violates the Constitution. And Kissinger talked about that. His quote was something like, the illegal we do right away. The unconstitutional takes a little bit longer. That's how they view this. We can add Russ Tice to this list as well. He's a former intelligence analyst for NSA. Starting to notice a pattern here. A lot of people at the NSA are very unhappy with what that agency is doing. He also was at the Air Force and the Office of Naval Intelligence and the Defense Intelligence Agency. So this is a guy that got around. And Tice first approached Congress and eventually had to go to the media about the warrantless surveillance of the U.S. population by the NSA, right? Here we go again. He was a major source for the 2005 New York Times expose, and he spoke out widely about the subsequent disclosures by other NSA whistleblowers. Russ Tice came to the defense of guys like Bill Binney and Ed Snowden. Guys that had been in the NSA and knew what they were talking about. Russ Tice said, the National Security Agency had access to all Americans' communications, faxes, phone calls, and their computer communications. It didn't matter whether you were in Kansas, in the middle of the country, and you never made foreign communications at all. They monitored all communications. That should be alarming and disturbing to everybody. And I think we should probably all know that if you rat out the government for their dirty dealings with other corporations, you can expect the same sort of retribution. A lady named Bunny Greenhouse, which, let's face it, sounds like a pretty awesome stripper name to me. She worked with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And her job was to monitor and approve contracts that were given to engineering firms to rebuild the Iraqi oil fields after the U.S. Drummed up false pretenses to invade Iraq in 2003. And what Greenhouse did was, she came forward saying that the government showed favoritism towards Halliburton and granted them no-bid contracts to rebuild the oil field facilities. So if you know what I mean, a no-bid contract means that you normally do an RFP or a request for proposal for a certain item. Let's say you want to rebuild the Iraqi oil fields. You approach Halliburton, you approach Bechtel, you approach whoever else you've got as a large engineering company, and you say, this is what we want to do. Tell us how much it'll cost for you to do that. Here's the parameters of what we need. You tell us how much, in an itemized list, what it'll cost. And then Halliburton will come back and say, I don't know, we can do it for $5 billion. And Bechtel will come back and say, well, we can do it for $4 billion. And you go, oh, okay, well, I'll go with all things being equal, I'll go with the one that's cheaper, right? They weren't doing that. And what Bunny Greenhouse noticed and brought to everybody's attention was that the Halliburton subsidiary, KBR, Kellogg Brown and Root, was able to submit, was getting contracts without having to bid on them against other companies. That's a no-bid contract, meaning they don't ask you, how much you'll charge and three other companies how much they'll charge, and then, you know, shop around for the best rate on their auto insurance. They just go with one company. They go, what will you charge us? And they go, in this case, Halliburton goes, $7 billion. Fine, we'll take it. Never even putting them through the bid process that might discover that somebody else could do it for a whole lot cheaper. And gee, I wonder why Halliburton got no bid contracts on that. Could it be that their former CEO, who resigned as CEO to run as vice president with George W. Bush, happened to be Dick Cheney? Of course. I mean, of course. And so, you know, this is what happens when you come up and you talk, you know, you blow the whistle on something like this. Best case scenario, they fire you and go after you and make your life hell. Worst case scenario, what happened to William Colby? William Colby was the former director of the CIA from 1973 to 1976. By all accounts, a tremendous asshole. Okay, so I'm not trying to make this guy out to be some saint or anything like that. And as the head of the CIA, you obviously have access to large amounts of private, very serious information. And he would have been aware of all of the CIA's most damaging secrets. I mean, he was there as the director for many years. He would have known about the drug running operations out of Southeast Asia that were happening while he was the CIA director towards the during Vietnam. That was most definitely happening. He would have known about their blackmail tactics for entrapping politicians through honey traps and Epstein-style stuff, as well as pedophilia. He would have known all about that. He would have known about the spy network. But he had a very big mouth. And that is something that isn't really appreciated too much when you are a high-ranking CIA director, intelligence asset. And he testified before Congress and gave them quite a bit of information about the covert operations the CIA was involved in. And that's a pretty bad idea if you're trying to stay alive. In fact, he testified in front of Congress 56 different times. And he was eventually fired from the CIA for, you know, allegedly leaking information about their assassination plots. And he was scheduled to testify before a congressional committee when he suddenly drowned while canoeing near his home at night with his dinner still sitting on the table. So it doesn't matter who you are. Whether you're a nobody like Bunny Greenhouse, you're a media sensation like Edward Snowden, or you're the director of the CIA. If you talk about things that you're not supposed to talk about and expose what the dirty United States government is actually doing, and you have the evidence to back it up or the credibility to make it count, they're coming for you. There's not a whistleblower protection act that's going to save your ass when they decide to bring in a Pegasus hit team and make it look like an accident. And they do it all the time. So, you know, I have a lot of respect for the people that step forward and become whistleblowers. Nobody likes a rat, right? But sometimes, yeah, there's a difference between ratting out people to save your own skin and your skin being saved no matter what, and you decide that you're going to step up, out yourself, and expose some corruption because it's the right thing to do. Whew. I have a lot of respect for those people. And I also worry about them a great deal. If you like this episode, please share it with your friends and family. check out the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com, which is where you can find my book available in the digital format there. If you like the paperback, it's only available on Amazon and barnesandnoble.com. You can get it there and check it out. It also makes a good gift for friends and family, people that are in your circle that think maybe you're a little off or maybe don't understand the things that you're reading about or listening to or interested in. So my book serves as a pretty good way to get the message across to those close to you without you having to be the bad guy. And it's funny too. The book is surprisingly filled with some humorous content because the bulk of it is very serious. And you gotta infuse a little bit of humor to keep people hanging in there, to process the obviously serious components of the book. So hopefully people will check it out and buy it and share it with your friends and family. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.